From Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And this is the word of the Lord. Today, we are blessed to have Reverend William Wan speak to us from the passage we have just read. May God open our ears to hear and receive from his sermon titled, Architect of Lives. Reverend Wan, please.
Good morning and happy Teacher's Day from me too. Teacher's Day was on Friday, wasn't it? Yeah, on Friday. Many years ago, I wrote an article to support teachers in the Straits Times. And So you read it, yeah. There was a time when the ministry was trying to promote the idea that teachers that students and the parents are customers, and so teachers are just people who deliver service. I think that didn't go very well. I mean, those of you who are a little older, you remember that. And I wrote against it because I think that teachers are much more than just a deliverer of a service, more than just a vendor. Teachers are mentors. So that's, I think, the article all about. I want to talk about architects of lives because, you know, if I were to ask a teacher, what does he do? What does she do? And the teacher would probably reply, I teach math, I teach English, I teach science, whatever. And I teach them reading, if they're younger, I teach them whatever you're teaching. Okay, I manage a classroom. And all those answers are correct, but all those answers are only the visible part of the iceberg. Maybe 10% of what you do, but actually we all teachers, all of us teachers, do a whole lot more below that 10%. The larger invisible part of what happens at night when we have to mark papers and grade them. I taught four classes last year at NTU. I had 133 students. I went to university only once a week on a Wednesday, flipped classes. I taught two classes, one Wednesday, and then two classes, another Wednesday, and then the Wednesday, they're not in class, they're supposed to read all the lectures and video and everything else. But the problem was not the interaction and not the facilitation in the class. The biggest work that I had to do, and you have to do as teachers, is behind the scene. They have to do five different things to earn their grades, and I have to grade five different things. From a poster, which is a short 500-word essay, to a presentation, to a debate, you know, five different things. To a viva, one-on-one. And that's a lot of work. So if you are burning midnight oil and marking papers and planning your class sessions and worrying about a student that's not doing very well and knowing other students were struggling at home and you're trying to help somebody who is bullied, who is a young student, there's a lot of work behind the scene. And if you're a teacher that is really caring for your students, there's just not enough time in a day to be a good teacher. So I would say that it is a calling that is often exhausting, frequently thankless, sometimes frustrating, and you feel futile. You pour into students who may never come back to say thank you. You prepare lessons that are met with blank stares. And you work under immense pressure from principal, from ministry, from standards set by others, tests and administration. If you felt that way and wondered whether it is worth it to be a teacher, even while you're doing Sunday school teaching, it applies to you as well, then we need some encouragement from the Word of God. And today's word is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. So the apostle wrote this to first century slaves, people who were from countries, regions captured by the Roman Empire, by the Roman legions, and they were brought to Rome, to Colossae, to Thessalonica, and they became slaves. And these words are given to them. These words are still applicable to us today as long as we work. We are not slaves, of course, but we do work. And specifically as teachers, but this also applies to any other work. Whatever you do, work with all your heart. And this is Paul's encouragement to help us overcome the stresses of work, finding lasting purpose as a teacher. It applies to us today more than ever before, because today, teaching especially is harder. In my time, when I was spanked, sometimes I get spanked, caned by my teacher in the old days when corporal punishment was possible. By the way, I must teach you first. I was caned when I was in school for being a very naughty boy. Caned publicly in the assembly. I was, until Christ came into my life and made all the difference. But when I was caned, and I go back and tell my parents, I get caned some more. But now, if you get caned by the teacher, first of all, the teacher committed an offense. You cannot cane anymore. Secondly, you go back and tell your parents will rush to the school and cane the teacher. Times are getting so different with today's teaching and the teachers. So he says, Paul says, that ultimately we are all working for not the human master, not the principal, not the superintendent, not the school. What is that? I'm on that too, as school advisory committee, SAC. We are not working, not even for the ministry. We're ultimately working for God. We're not working for the applause of parents, which can be fickle and fleeting. Today they praise you, tomorrow they scold you. Not for the gratitude of students, because they often don't come, and they may come much later. By the way, I was not only teaching at the university, I actually taught school, secondary school, for 2 years. And I remember my last year when I quit, go to do law, my class gave me a farewell party at night. And I'll give you the song that was played that night throughout the party, and you will date me very well. The song was "To Serve with Love." How many of you know that song? A beautiful song. I think we should play that song for all our teachers, to serve with love. They played it for me. That's their appreciation. You feel good. But unfortunately, it's been so many years that I have lost touch with all my students. I can't even recall one particular student from that class. See, those things pass. You know, appreciation pass. Students that you serve also pass. So how do we continue to serve? Actually, whatever we do, every act of service, the one who should approve us should be the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stay up late to provide details, feedback on an essay, or see that you patiently explain a concept to a student who is confused, or when you buy some snack for a student in need, God sees all that. When you choose kindness over frustration, God sees all that. And God will be the one who will approve us. So as teachers, we are not just a conveyor of information. Teaching itself is an act that could be an act of offering to God, an act of worship to God. Service itself can be an act of worship to the Lord. And so we continue because we're not working for human beings, we're working for the Lord. When we understand that, so fundamental a thing like working for the Lord, then that changes everything. It sanctifies what is secular, routine. And we refuse to make it routine. Every day in our contact with students, every Sunday when contact with our children in church, every Saturday or whatever day when you're a youth advisor, your contact with young people, every day, every time, is an act of offering of our worship to the Lord. That would change how we look at ourselves. It becomes a calling. The mundane becomes significant. The routine doesn't become routine anymore. Become an opportunity to touch a life. So I want to encourage you with three things when we have this in mind. Three truths from this text. So if you understand that it is a service to the Lord, we understand, first of all, that there is significance to your work. Your work is significant. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, when we hear that and remember that, then the work that we do in teaching becomes significant. Don't ever say, if people ask you, if you are a professional teacher, don't ever say, I'm only a teacher. You're not only a teacher. You have been called to be a teacher. And therefore, that job is significant. Not only. Compared to every other job, I like to think that teaching is actually far more important than many jobs. We'll tell you why in a minute. The world rewards, the worldly rewards are a paycheck. Of course, we need the paycheck to feed ourselves. We may even get an award called the Teacher of the Year. That's good. Thank you very much. You may get a good evaluation. That's good too. These are all nice. But the significance is that we are getting a reward from the Lord. And that is important, from the Lord. You will receive an inheritance from the Lord. We may never see the fruit of our labor. And sometimes we may feel like we've wasted so much time. But what if that one word of encouragement that you gave to the other student, gave that student, planted that seed in that student to see the love of God, and in time, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, because he or she, when they were 9 years old, saw you caring for them. That makes the work significant. That changed the trajectory and the destiny of your student. And you may never know it. He may never come back and tell you. And she may have just gone on with her life, but that seed has made a difference to them. Christ sees that. Christ will reward you. You are building into souls that are eternal. The math equation, the physics, the chemistry formula, everything may be forgotten. But the character that you mold by your action, your care, your words, your teaching, the truth you teach them, the love you show them, has eternal significance. Think about it. We will get our reward. Second is the source of our authority. Of course, as professional teachers, we have authority by being trained. We've gone to university, gone to NIE, we got our diploma, our certificate, our degrees, so we have authority. And authority is Ministry of Education. We are employed, empowered to do all this. But the scripture says, it is the Lord Jesus Christ we are serving. So effectively, our authority comes from God Himself. We serve with the authority of the King of Kings. We are given this mandate when we have a sense of calling. Therefore, we must feel good about what we do. We must feel very important, not self-importance, but we must make this calling important and stand tall with authority from God. We're given this opportunity to form characters, to contribute to lives, to be the architect, to build strong characters, strong lives, strong minds, strong hearts. And we have the opportunity as teachers. We serve under that authority of God. Sometimes our methods may be questioned. Our approach may be questioned. It's okay. We can listen to them. But if we are convinced that this is how we can do a good job, then take the authority from God, the commission from God. He gives us the empowerment to do what is right and good for the students. Ultimately, in order for them also to be aware of God who is working in and through us. Because we as Christians, as Christian teachers, we are representing none other than the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And He has given us the sacred trust of the students that we can influence. So remember, we go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of authority. Finally, the service should be from our heart. Work at it with your heart, verse 23, with your heart. You know, Chinese is very good. We have Chinese yao sam, you know. Yao sam is good, right? If we go around without yao sam, we will have no love, no care. We don't have any heart. But here the scripture says we must go with our heart. God is not calling us to perfection. He's calling us to serve with our heart. It can mean wholeheartedly. It can mean with passion. It can mean with a lot of love. He's given us the gift and our heart. Combining together, we can serve God and make a difference to these kids. So think about it. We don't just teach history. We teach with passion to tell stories that will inspire them about what happened to our country, what happened to famous people, what happened to countries, how they survived. The history of the world can become an inspiration. So we must tell them passionately. We just don't teach science. We can teach them by showing the wonders of God. God has embedded all the natural laws in place for us to discover. Men did not create signs. They simply discover signs. Discover how the laws of nature work. Who put the laws of nature there? God asked Job the same question. Who put all these wonderful, mysterious powers in the universe there? God did. So when we teach science, we can show them the marvels of God in creation. And we don't just manage a class, whether it's a Sunday school or a youth fellowship or any class in school. We are actually given a chance to lead by example, to show Christ-likeness in the way we deal with them, even the most difficult ones, the most troubled ones. When we do that, our heart will make our teaching unique. They will make whatever we do unique. It will be distinguished from everybody else because we have the heart. It's what students will remember long after they've forgotten all the lessons we have taught them. They'll remember us because we inspired them. You know, I love to watch certain kind of movies. And one genre which is my favorite is actually about inspiring teachers. I think I've watched most of them until recently. I've watched To Serve With Love. I've watched Mona Lisa Smile. I've watched Mr. Holland's Opus. I've watched Dead Poets Society. I've watched Goodbye, Mr. Chips. Very old ones. They're all about inspiring teachers. And you can be inspiring teachers. And I can be inspiring teachers. God designed us, if we are called to teach, whether in church or in public school, we are designed to inspire others. I will just close with an experience last year. Out of 133 students doing the Viva, one student couldn't do it. The Viva is only for 4 minutes. She has to sit in front of me and actually make a presentation without notes, just make a presentation. She started, and within 1 minute, she broke down. She couldn't do it. I said, it's okay. Take a deep breath, calm down. There are others waiting. You come last. Go and go to the canteen. Go take a drink in about 20 minutes or so, you can come back. She came back. Second time, she still cannot do it. If I'm going to follow technicality, if my idea is simply to teach in a sense of getting her to be able to make a presentation in my presence, and that's all I care about, I would have failed her. But I care more than that. I believe that she is traumatized by doing this kind of one-on-one presentation. It's not that she doesn't know her subject. The course is not about passing her for her public speaking or for her courage to speak one-on-one. That is not. The test is about her understanding of certain concepts. And I know, given a proper environment, she can do it. So I have to be thinking, not just with my brains. If I think with my brains, technically, I should have failed her. I have to think with my heart. So I told her, this weekend, we will Zoom. I will Zoom with you, provided you promise me you are not reading from a piece of paper. And she said, I promise. So on the weekend, we made time for a Zoom. And she did very well. As I expected, she was a good student. It would have been very sad to have failed her, right? Just because she cannot articulate in that environment. She simply froze. I know she has a problem. And we got to help her with that problem. So we need to teach with our heart beyond just curriculum, finishing the syllabus, we need to teach with love. One thing always to set our student up for success, not to find a reason to fail them. That's my attitude towards teaching. And I know that's what the Lord will be pleased with. And I don't really care what other people do. I pastor. So in conclusion, reframe your purpose. Every time you walk into a Sunday school class, into a public school class, reframe your purpose. Before you start teaching, take a few minutes just to take a deep breath and pray silently, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Make this class, make this lesson, make my interaction with the students something that will make a difference to them and make a difference to me so that I can glorify you. That will reset the purpose. It's about you, Lord, that I'm doing this. You are my boss, and I will do it well for you. Second, be the living gospel to your students. We are not allowed to preach and evangelize in the public school classes, university or otherwise. That is fine. We don't do that and we shouldn't do that. But reading the gospel is more than just giving them the Bible or the Gospel of John. Reading the gospel can also happen when they read you, when they observe you, because you and I, we are the gospel of Jesus Christ. So ask the Lord to help them see the good works that we are doing and glorify our Father whom they cannot see. And finally, embrace the legacy of teaching, not just the lesson. We are not just imparting knowledge. We are building characters. We are preparing people who can become parents, become responsible adults, become leaders of our nation, leaders of corporations, leaders of organizations. Because all these kids are going to grow up, and one day they are going to be whoever God has destined them to be. And we have the privilege of investing in their life. And therefore, it is a spiritual legacy that we are imparting to them. So all of us remember, and it applies to all of us who are working as well, not just teachers. Some days we will feel unseen, unappreciated. Remember, God sees us. On the days we feel that this job is so thankless, remember that the one that we need to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is not our earthly master, but our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we feel tired and weary and feel like giving up, remember that our strength comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." You are not just teachers, you are cultivators of potential. You are sharpeners of minds. You are encouragers of hearts. You are doing all this as architects of lives. So in closing, I want to tell you about two bricklayers. So two bricklayers were working very hard, and one of them was asked, "Sir, what are you doing?" The bricklayer looked at him and said, "Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm laying bricks." "Oh, I see." Then he turned to the other one and said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm building a cathedral so that men and women can come and worship the Almighty God." Both of them were building a cathedral. I mean, literally building a cathedral. One only looked at the physical side of the building. "I'm laying bricks." The other one saw the ultimate goal of what they were doing, building a cathedral. And beyond that, for God to be worshipped in that beautiful building. you are architects of lives. Build lives that will eventually be dedicated to God and be used by God. And you can thank God that you and I are given the privilege of being teachers. God bless you.